Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I come to you today and to encourage you to let us exalt the name of the Lord our God together and lift him up on high. Truly, he's great and he's greatly to be praised. I am so excited on today about what God has for us on today. And I know it's going to be another glorious and blessing for us on each and every one who have joined on today. On today, our lesson is going to be trusting God in time of trouble. And we're going to be looking out of the book of Psalms 56. And we're going to focus on when in trouble and despair and desperation, God is our refuge, and we can trust him and praise him right in the midst of our storms or trouble. And so on today, I'm going to invite you to go with me as you grab your Bible and come right on in and making yourself right at home. And turn with me to Psalm 56 as we explore the word of the Lord on today and begin to contextualize it for the relevancy of victorious living for today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to bless you in a mighty and special way. Now let's take a look here. And that's going to be Psalms 53. And we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray. Father, we take this time to bind the forces of darkness and the emissaries and the adversaries of hell that will come up against, Lord, your word on today. And we release, God, Lord, healing power, strength, and, Lord, deliverance through these words on today. Let it find root in the hearts of your people today. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor that's due unto your holy name. And Father, we'll be ever grateful and mindful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' holy and matchless name we pray. Amen, amen. And so it is, Psalm 56, and it reads on this line, be merciful unto me, O God, for man will swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. My enemy would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rasp my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity, and in thy anger cast down the people, O God? Thou tellest my wondrous, thou hast my tears into the bottle, hast put thou my tears into thy bottles, as they are not in thy book. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And in God will I praise his word, and in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? So far, the reading of the scripture. And so our focus is going to be around verse number 4, and it reads on this line, in God will I praise his word. In God I put my trust, and I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So far the reading of that scripture. And our scripture references that you can also note or perhaps go back in your own time to look and read would be Deuteronomy chapter number 20, verses 1 through 4, as well as Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. Now let's take a look at our lesson on today. Job in 14:1 said, "Man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble." And also Job 5:7 says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks flies upward." Now, as negative as the phrase "full of trouble" and "born unto trouble" may sound, now they are true of the earthly experience of mankind. Most people enjoy many wonderful experiences in life, and some are richly blessed, but all people experience life's trouble as well. It is unrealistically negative for a person to say that he will only experience trouble in life, but it is realistic and true that he will suffer his share of life's difficulties. We all will, at one point in time in our life, will brush up against some type of challenge or something that comes to push us to the borders, push us out of our comfort zone, as well as some type of difficulty may appear and come in our life at one point in time in our lifetime. Now, some of the trouble that we go through is our own making as a result of really sometimes unwise choices. There are troubles that come from Satan, disguised and designed to attack and to try to discourage us. But much of our trouble comes from enemies, people, or spirit poses against us because of righteousness, of living righteous unto the Lord our God. Now, when a person experiences difficulty, they are tempted to think that they is the only one having trouble. But let no one think that they are alone in their trouble. Everyone, regardless of their situation or station and status in life, suffer trouble. No one is going to be exempt. Now, we will study how David faced his enemy and kept the right attitude and trusted in the Lord. He enumerated their attack against him, but he did not spend all his time talking about how bad things were. And I believe that that's the key, one of the key elements. We all are going to be tried. Everyone of us will be tried in one way or another. But the key to being tried is the fact that he didn't spend all his time talking about what he was going through and what was happening. He persevered and pressed up and over it. Now, he reminded himself that God knew all about him. He reminded himself that his enemy and that God knew about his enemies and about all of his troubles. Moreover, when all of these trying things were happening to him, he trusted in God. Now, we must recognize as children of God that God knows all about you, all about your enemies, or all about your troubles. And when I say enemies, I'm saying the things that come up against you, even enemy. When I say, and that's I-N-M-E, what's in a me, and things, these, all of these elements, God knows about them. But it's up to us as children of God as to decide and to decide who and what we will put our trust in. Now, David knew the secret to victory, trusting and praising the Lord. Victory does not come only through proper preparation for battle and outnumbering the enemies in soldiers or weapons, or by outsmarting the enemy. David knew the secret to victory was relying entirely on the Lord to bring victory. Now, that's key. As children of God, we must rely upon God to bring the true victory in every circumstances and situation in our life. Yes, we can strategize. Yes, we can collaborate. Yes, we can come out with some great plans, etc. But we must, in the midst of our collaboration, in the midst of our strategically planning, in the midst of us getting a good plan and thing. We must rely on God to bring forth total and true victory. And that's what David knew as a great warrior and king of Israel. He knew that he had to rely upon God for all of the victory. And it was not difficult for him to praise God in the midst of it. And so let us learn from this lesson to trust the Lord and put all of our troubles even into his hand. And trusting God in the time of trouble is our answer for complete victory in our life, victory in our thoughts, victory in our choices, victory in our mindset, is when we put our trust totally and completely in the Lord our God. Now let's look up at this particular passage of scripture and thing. And he began to talk about being swallowed up by our enemies. Whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, we have enemies. Jesus said, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. And you'll find that over in Luke 6:26. He said, also said that we would be hated by the world. See John 15:18-20. Sometime in your own family, you might find people hating or rising up against you because of the stand that you have and because of the love that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find people raising up against you and things. And because we are on the side of righteousness, we have enemies for Satan, even for Satan and all of the forces of unrighteousness to oppose us as children of God. There is no neutrality in their conflict of this life. A person either is on the side of righteousness or they're not. There are some people who do not choose to walk with the Lord, yet they often defend the way of righteousness. Unfortunately, if a person does not devote their life to Jesus Christ and to live for him, they are unintentionally aligning themselves with unrighteousness that places them squarely on the wrong side. Now, and that's a hard pill to swallow, and that's a hard reality, but it is so. Now, let's look further. Oppression is daily. Psalm 51 said, He fighting daily oppresseth me. In Psalms 56:2 also, my enemy would swallow me, would daily swallow me up. So here David was saying that every day I'm dealing with something because I'm living righteous. Every day I'm faced with these enemies because I've chosen to live righteous before the Lord God. And so David was dealing with issues every day. And he said, my daily fighting oppresses me. And he goes on to say, my enemies would daily swallow me up. But David knew the secret that even in the midst of daily being challenged, he chosen to praise God. Oh, shallow the bullshit. And we as children of God, we must make a conscious choice that, yes, we are pressed on every side, but still yet I'm going to have a praise in my mouth because we know what the scripture said, that God knew these things before we even came across these things that will come into our life. But because we put our trust and confidence in God, we choose to praise him in the midst of the trouble. Oh, in the midst of the battle, we'll still yet have a yet praise to praise God and to give God the praise, glory, and honor that's due unto his name. Now let's take a look here. Intermittent opposition is bad enough, but Satan opposes the believer daily. Not content to attack annually, but or monthly, or even to worry the child of God weekly, Satan tries to destroy daily because his oppression of the believer is not on a weekly basis or on a monthly intermittent basis. It is daily that Satan comes daily to oppress and to discourage and oppress the child of God. Because we are attacked daily, we need to fight daily. And when I mean fight, to resist the devil. The scripture said, resist the devil and he will flee. Because daily, if it's not one thing, it's another that's coming against the child of God. And anyone who is attacked daily and does not fight daily is similarly going to find themselves in utter defeat. We must fight as much as the enemy attacks. And technically, if we resist with the same amount of attack that he comes against us, we will hold our ground against the adversary. Just as he's fighting, that's how you resist and stand upon the word of God. In other words, we must resist Satan with more force than that which he is fighting against you, not only to avoid backsliding, but also to gain total victory. Now, we also must understand that Satan launches offenses much like any army. Since he is not omnipresent, it is not possible for him to attack everyone all the time except through his special agent, which are demons. For this reason, at times, we feel much more oppression than other times. And so we must recognize that these attacks that's coming against the child of God is inspired by the adversary, the enemy of our very own soul, and you got to resist it. No, I'm going to stand on righteousness. I'm going to do the will and the plan that God has for my life. I'm not going to succumb unto the attack of the adversary. And then sometimes you can even see the adversary attacking you. And so the Bible said, resist the devil and he will flee. Oh, Ramashanda. Now let's look at another point. The sources are many. Now let's look here. David began to say, for they be many that fight against me. And so David was dealing with a myriad of enemies that was coming against him. And he said, daily, he said, for many that fight against me. Now, it is not a great number that we can see. It is a great number that we cannot see. Whether visible or invisible, they be many that fight against me. Consequently, our conflict is complicated. If our enemy were only one in number, it would not be nearly as difficult to go into battle and enjoy victory. But to battle an enemy on many fronts spreads our human resources thin and increases our need for more surveillance and spiritual weapons. Now, the enemy attacks low and high with frontal attacks and flanks and near and even rear assaults. He attacks in the dark and in the light. He comes with noise of an open attack, and he comes silently in secret to surprise us. Moreover, Paul reveals in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. We must always be watchful lest we be deceived. We got to constantly watch. Now, 2 Corinthians 2:11 states, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. Ephesians 6:11 said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then the Apostle Peter cautioned, the devil goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. The verses begin, be sober, be vigilant. And to be vigilant means to keep awake and watch. Whether Satan comes as an angel of light or as a roaring lion, we need to be alert and watching so that we are able to recognize our enemies and what he is doing. So we must be sober in our mind and be watchful and things as to what the adversary is doing. Now, let's look at David, because another aspect of this lesson, David put his trust in God. And now let's take a look at resist fear. We must resist fear. Now, it's a natural for a human to be afraid. Fear is a normal human response to danger. We should not feel defeated when we experience fear. God designed us to have some fear, For fear is a feeling of anxiety and agitation felt at a presence of danger. But according to 2 Timothy 1:7, he has not given us the spirit of fear. Moreover, we are not to allow fear to paralyze or to torment us. Now, let me share something. God showed me something several weeks ago. I was sitting in my office and meditating on the Lord. And as I was meditating on the Lord showed me two things. He showed me a path of fear and a path of faith. And he said, daily, my people must choose which way and which path are they going to choose. Are they going to choose to live in fear or live in faith? And so we as children of God, we must recognize that the scripture clearly states that the just shall live by their faith. And so we as children of God, we must live by our faith. It said, although it's natural to be afraid, it is beneficial to resist fear. To resist fear is beneficial even to the non-believers, but it's even more beneficial and vital to the child of God. Through faith, the believer has the power to resist fear. Consequently, we should not allow fear to govern us. Let us rather exercise our spiritual weapon and resist fear through faith. Fear is an arch enemy of faith. No person believes without conquering fear. Now, to conquer fears requires resistance. Some resist slightly, which represent little more than stating which side that they're on, while others resist so strongly that everything that they have is dedicated to the resistance. Now, let's look here. Life presents to us two choices, whether we believe in God or not, whether we are Christians or not, or a child of God or not. The two choices can be paralyzed in two words, for or against. If we trust in God and walk with God, we are members of the resistance, for we are for him, the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. And consequently, if we are not living for Jesus Christ, we are automatically a part of the opposition or against God. Now, the term resist means to oppose actively and fight, to work against, to refuse, to cooperate with, and to keep from yielding to. Therefore, to resist fear is to actively engage in constant conflict with fear, never allowing it to get the upper hand. Though in the human realm it is normal to experience fear, in the spiritual realm it is necessary always to resist it and to place our trust in God. Now, that seems a little juxtaposed, having two elements and two forces going forward at the same time. In the human realm, fear is there. But in the spiritual realm, it is commanded and of us to resist it and to resist fear and to stand in faith and putting our trust and confidence in God. Now, let's look at some of these elements here so that we can gain a better understanding even as what God would do in and through our lives as we put our trust in God. Now, the word trust in the Old Testament conveys the idea of the word faith and believe in the New Testament. It includes the idea of taking refuge, leaning on, or staying upon. Now, the dictionary adds the idea of firm faith, confidence in. The word trust occurs 134 times in the Bible and 117 times in the Old Testament and 27 times in the New Testament. The term faith occurs 247 times in the Bible, with only two of those in the Old Testament and 245 in the New Testament. Clearly, it would appear that trust is primarily an Old Testament term and faith is primarily a New Testament term. Now, let's look further. Every person, whether a believer or non-believer, places trust in something. Some people put trust in their money and possession, in their power, in their popularity, and even in their personality, and sometimes even in people. The important consideration is not whether we have trust. Rather, the question is, in what or whom do we place our trust? David unequivocally declared, "In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Psalm 56:4. As a wealthy king, David had access to all he could ever need or wanted, even materially. But he chose to put his trust in the Lord. Now, trusting in God accomplished at least seven things. And I want you to take note of these seven things that will be accomplished when you put your trust in God. Number one, it releases God to work on your behalf. Number two, it forms a partnership, 1 Corinthians 3:9. It fixes affiliations. Number four, it eliminates fear, 1 John 4:18. Number five, it establishes security. Number six, it causes peace. And then number seven, it precipitates joy, Psalms 5:11. So putting your trust in God will give you these seven elements or accomplish these seven things: joy, peace, security, eliminates fear. It releases God to work. It forms a partnership. It fixes affiliation with God. Now, let's look at eight verbs that follow the command to trust in God over in Psalms 37:3-8. Let's look at this. Number one, it said, do good, delight yourself, commit thy ways, rest in the Lord, wait patiently, cease from anger, forsake wrath, and fret not. And so when we put our trust and confidence in God, we can find ourselves doing good. And we can delight ourselves in God. We can commit our ways to God. And we can rest in the Lord and wait patiently and cease from anger and forsake wrath and fret not. All of these elements are taking place when we put our trust and confidence in God. These are the promises unto the child of God in things as we do that and putting our trust there. Now, let's look at another element that we want to look at as to praise his word. It said, in God will I praise his word, Psalms 56:4. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. You'll find that over in Psalm 56:4 as well as verse 10. If we trust God, we also will trust his word, for he is inseparable from his word. Moreover, as we praise God, it is natural for us to praise him without words. Praising his words involves praising God's greatness, God's faithfulness, and the sureness that are established by his word. Now, let's take a look at that. And let's unpack that for just a moment here. So when I begin, one individual begin to engage in praising God and worshiping God, it denotes that you are praising God for his word, for his greatness and his faithfulness and his sureness that all are established by his word. Now, John 1:4 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Oh, my God. My God, my God. Now, C.I. Scofield observed of John 1:1 said, in him are embodied all the treasures of the divine wisdom and the collective thoughts of God. Jesus was no less than and no greater than his word, for the word was God himself. Now, a person's word entails his promises. Consequently, to praise God for his word is to praise him for his promises. In Psalm 56:4, the psalmist David wrote, in God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. Where the King James Version has translated, in God will I praise his word. Now, praising the promises of God contained in his word is an expression of faith in God. Faith that praises God for his promises before their fulfillment in a person's life possesses the quality of trust that delights God and moves him to act on one's behalf. Now, God faithfully rewards those who praise him and put their confidence in his word. Now, we are children of God. Now, how can we contextualize that for living victoriously in these days and times in which we're being tried on every hand and challenged by multiplicities of things that are coming up against the very own soul of the child of God? Well, David gave us a clear example. He began to share with us ways in which we can demonstrate our faith unto God by praising him in advance. I heard somebody say, a psalmist coined a song, a word song, and said, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Well, before the battle comes, let's start shouting. Before things come and hit our souls and cause perplexity in the mind, let us praise God. I hear some of the mature saints saying, put up your timber now and things, or put up your praise now before things begin to happen. God, I will trust you and put my confidence in your word and begin to praise God for his word. And the Bible said that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. Now, let's take a look at that. He didn't say delight in your trouble or allow your trouble to overtake you and to drown out your faith and paralyze your ability to even to look up unto the hill from which cometh your help. But he's saying delight yourself in the Lord. Now, it takes discipline. It takes intentionality. It takes a mindset to press up and over things that you see and feel, even in the reality of what you're looking at that's coming and surmounting against you. It takes discipline to say, I'm going to look the devil right in the face. And I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to give him the praise, just like Daniel, O king. He told him, O king, we know that that God, we are not careful to say that they were going to trust God and that God was able to deliver them out of the king's hand, out of the fiery furnace. And things, and they declared their faith in God. And so when the adversary come and try to launch you into a battle, declare your faith and things. Declare what you trust in and believe in God. Declare, speak to your problem, speak to your mountain, and tell your mountain and tell your circumstances. Speak to your Goliath. And speak to the circumstances that are coming up against you, your Jordan River. Speak to the Jordan River and say, Jordan River, the God that created you is the God of my salvation. And I'm not going to fear, though I can't swim, though I don't know how I'm going to get over. But one thing I know, the creator of all things, it's my heavenly Father, and he's able to depart the sea and allow us to cross over. Speak to your Jordan and speak to your circumstances and watch the God of glory manifest his hand in your life. That's what our whole thought is for the Church of Shekinah Glory. It is manifest, God. Manifest your problem. Promises. Manifest, God, your gifts. Manifest, God, your talents. And manifest your thoughts that you have for us as the people of God. Manifest, God. And that's what I cry as the church. God, manifest your provision. Manifest. Manifest. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself strong among your people. So put in confidence in the word of the Lord our God and praising his word. God, your word said. Your word said, God. And this is what we can do as the children of God. We can come back to God in prayer. We can come back to God in praise. We can come back to God in our thoughts. We can come back to God even in our own expectation with confidence in what you said, God. It's not what my circumstances is dictating to me. It's not what I'm feeling in my spirit, soul, and mind right now or what I'm looking at right now, but it's what your word declared and said. Is what I choose to stand on. I felt the power of God hit right there. There's life right there in that word. Oh, and Lord, I agree with your child, wherever they're at right now, that they're going to get up out of that situation. They're going to take the word of God and stand on the word of God and watch God, that he that will come, he shall come, and he will not tarry. Oh, and you can speak that in the atmosphere and watch the God of your salvation come. Because guess what? God's sitting on the throne. The Bible said that he watched over his word to perform it. And so he heard the word go out of your mouth. And he said, oh, wait a minute. That's my daughter. That's my son. They're believing and trusting me. And things. They speak in my word. I'm watching over my word to perform it. And so now I got to respond to their faith because they're speaking forth what they believe in that I would do on their behalf. And God himself will move on your behalf because you put confidence in his word. I hear the scripture saying, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And you can speak to your weapon. You can speak to the thing that is coming against you and say, it won't prosper. You won't prevail. It will not prevail against me. And speak to it and watch God himself perform it on your behalf. Now, let's look at this and reviewing and looking at our trouble. They rasp my word daily. Whether it's good or bad, there is a human tendency for an individual to cite the litany of their trouble, whether he can find someone to listen. And it's just a natural thing. We want to be able to speak it and talk about it. Where is the individual who, when they making conversation with others, can resist the temptation to share their troubles and burdens with others with his problems? And so someone once said, misery loves company. Moreover, it is true that everyone needs someone whom that they can share their hurts, their problems, or their disappointment. There are times when a person needs to vent their frustrations as well as disappointments. But what we have to find that even in the time of venting, we must be able to be a channel and say, God, I'm going to take what they're saying, I'm going to give it right to you, and I'm going to cast it on the cross of Calvary. Even though I'm hearing this and I'm sitting sympathetically and empathy and showing empathy and care and compassion for my brother or my sister, but God, I'm going to cast this upon you because you care for me, God. I'm giving this over into your hand. David vented. Even David did one of his frustration when he penned Psalm 56:5. He said, every day they rasp my word. Now, the person might tend to think that having others who wrestled and twisted were would not be nearly as painful as having others physically twisting their arms or legs. Now, it's bad when somebody come back and you have said one thing and they go back and twist the script on you and begin to talk about it in a totally different way out of the vein that you were not even intended, and then in even adding to and taking away from what had been said. This is what David was doing. And so it was nothing strange for that back there when David was there. And so as it is with us even in today, when you find people twisting your good intention and things and twisting it around. And so this is what David was dealing with and things. But he went on, he said, but those who have experienced this twisting of their word by an enemy have experienced a pain that their heart remember long after the pain has subsided. And thing, David heard caused him to list many erroneous things others were saying about him. And so, you know, sometimes when you find yourself in a place, in a dilemma, and you find yourself looking at, oh, God, look at all these things that they have done against me and what they said against me. I didn't, and what they're doing against me when I only intended in my heart to do good. Well, that's what David was feeling at this particular time. But he was casting all this stuff completely upon the Lord. Now, let's look. They constantly are against me, is what David was saying. Now, the person does not usually enjoy opposition, and it is unpleasant to know that someone is against you. Therefore, it is not uncommon or strange for David to mention that he had enemies. Moreover, Jesus said, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Luke 6:26. So here Jesus was saying, well, you know, there's a problem when everybody's talking good about you. Well, we got a problem now and things. But in our humanity, we would think, well, people should be saying kind things about me. But Jesus said, wait a minute, there's a problem here is that, you know, everybody is talking about these things and talking good about you. There's a problem here and things. And so he said, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. If we walk righteously, we will face opposition from some people. David observed not only the fact that he had enemies, but also that he was working and that people were working against him constantly and continually. Whatever pressures that they were exerting against him, their opposition was regular and ongoing. To live victoriously, believers must be aware of the constant threat of the enemy. Satan and his agent takes no holidays, nor do they take any rest. But we must constantly be on our guard against the enemy of our own very soul. Now, let's look further. It said they conspired and plotted and ambushed against him. Psalm 56:6 said, they gathered themselves together and they hid themselves. It is not enough that David's enemy was against him. They were together and against him. An enemy acting alone can do much harm, but enemies acting together produce great opposition. David had witnessed such conspiracy against himself. King Saul hated David. Was very jealous of David, and Saul tempted personally to kill David, but he also brought his armies against him. You can and see over in 1 Samuel 23:8 and 24:2, David also had to deal with the fact that sometimes his enemy did not confront him openly. David had to exercise caution and be alert because his enemies often lurked in the shadow. Creating an ambush is an ancient method of warfare. Catching one's enemy unaware is one of the main objectives of any military campaign. Saul was a skilled military strategist, and he knew he needed to surprise David because he knew he couldn't just roll up on David and overtake David. So he had to strategize against David to even to wage a campaign of war against him. Now, let's look here further. Believers should learn a lesson from David's struggle with Saul. They also must be aware of their enemy, Satan, who always is lurking in the shadow waiting to pounce on them suddenly. But God has equipped believers with many weapons to defeat the sly tactics of the devil. We do not need to fear. We need only be alert to his subtle and deceptive attack against our souls. Now, let's look at this. God knows all about it. Any person in the depth of despair from overwhelming troubles longs for someone to understand their plight. Now, pastors and counselors know that it is therapeutic to those who are suffering for them to be able to talk about their problems and to be there by their side. Even in the absence of a clear solution, the hurting person feels better if they know that the counselor is listening with empathy and understanding. No one understands our needs and trouble like God. He who is omnipresent knows all about us, including all of our hurts. Moreover, he's also most qualified and able to alleviate the problem, for he's omnipotent, possessing all power in heaven and earth. We should take our troubles to him in prayer. Hebrews 4:15 states, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but we're in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, he knows them. He knows them. Psalm 56:7 states, shall they escape by iniquity? In thy anger cast down the people, O God. Although David's enemy gathered themselves together and hid themselves, God knew exactly who they were, where they were. His omniscience and omnipresence are both brought to bear, for he is present everywhere, and he gives all knowledge about and knows all things. Now, Obadiah said, verse number 4, said, though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, said the Lord. Amos 9:1-2 say, and he that flee of them shall not flee away, and he that escaped of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, then shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. So he knows all things. And it is important for us to know that God knows who our enemies are. That knowledge encourages us that he will understand our trouble and act on our behalf. God will help us in a time of trouble. God's knowledge of his people as they yield their lives to him means salvation to them. But God's knowledge of the enemy of his people shall one day mean judgment and damnation to them. He knows us. God, not only that, not only does he know our enemy, but he knows us. Psalm 56:8 said, thou tellest my wanderings, and put thou my tears into the bottle. Are they not in thy book? And David obviously felt it was important that God knows our enemy, but he also knew that the value of God's knowledge of him. How could God take care of us if he did not know us? But his intimate knowledge of us empowered him to care for us. What joy to realize that he knows us. Now, when David wrote, thou tellest my wandering, he was expressing his confidence that God had intimate knowledge of his wandering. Wherever he went, whatever he suffered, God was fully aware of his state. He saw David in his struggle and was helping him through them. And so it is that God knows our path and will help us through our difficult time. Not only will he help us, but he will intervene. In verse number 9 of Psalm 56, the scripture states, when I cried unto thee, then shall my enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In spite of the trouble that David went through, he knew when he cried out to God that God would intervene for him. As lonely as he felt, especially when King Saul was pursuing him, he knew that God was with him and for him, and his knowledge and faith gave David the courage he needed to sustain him and give him the victory. There is no challenge so difficult No problem so terrible that God will not help us or overcome if we will only call on him. There is no greater word of encouragement than those of Apostle Paul to the Christian at Rome. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's Romans 8, verse number 31. Now, let's take a look at Deuteronomy, chapter number 20, verses 1 through 4. It said, when thou goest out to battle against thy enemy, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when thou come down nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemy. Let not your heart faint. Fear not. Be not terrible. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemy and to save you. Now, let's look further. We must always praise God anyway. It is noteworthy that David concluded Psalm 56 with the word of praise. In three of his last four verses of this psalm, David used the word praise three times. He had not discovered the victory being an end with praise. Now, there are three times that David used the word praise. He said, I will praise. And David was determined to praise the Lord regardless of his situation. He praised the Lord before the battle. He praised the Lord during the battle. And he praised the Lord after the battle. And so here is a great principle that I want you to take away from this lesson on today. That before the battle, praise God. During the battle, praise him, and even after him, praise him. Now, through that supernatural praise, that's where we find ourselves being steadfast in the praise, and where God can maintain us from being up one day, down another, in and level to the ground. And things. If you continue to praise God and continue on giving him the praise before the battle, after the battle and during the battle, that's going to keep you in a place that God can truly be worshipped and praised in spite of on the top or in the valley, in the mountaintop experience, and even in your valley experience. You know, praise him for the past victory, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. That's what David began to tell him in verse 13. David knew the key to the future victory was in remembering and rejoicing over what God had done in the past. Rejoicing in what God has done encouraged faith in what he will do. David could enumerate many past victories. God had delivered him on numerous occasions, and David never forgot it. And when he went against the giant, Goliath said to King David, or King Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went out after him and smoked him and delivered it out of his mouth and the beard and smoked him, and when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smoked him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the army of the living God. 1 Samuel 17:34-36. So David, he repeated his past victory and said what God did for him before. He'll do the same thing. And the same Philistine will be slew and will be defiled and things and be taken out just like he did the lion and as well as the bear. Now, trusting God for the future deliverance. Now, will thou that deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? It was not difficult for David to trust God to deliver him. He knew what he had done before, and he was able to do again. David knew that God never changes, and he's still the same. For I am the Lord, and I change not. Malachi 3:6. Now, we as the children of God, we must recognize that God is not going to change. Now, we must trust him to keep us. Every person experiences difficult, whether or not they choose to serve the Lord. No one is exempt from trouble. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble, Job 14:1. We will experience trouble with or without God's help. But trouble is much more bearable when we serve the Lord and he have a constant and his constant presence is there and there to assist us. We are presently experiencing turmoil and confusion even in our world today. Many people are fearful and wondering if we indeed entering into the end time spoken of in the biblical book of Daniel and Revelation, which we are. Some speculate whether the church will be called up to meet the Lord soon, which we will. But if we truly trust God to keep us, however, it really doesn't matter what has happened and what's going to happen, but we can put our trust and care in God because we're looking unto him and knowing that every word is yea and amen. If he says he's going to rapture the church, he's going to rapture the church. And we must be found waiting and ready and looking up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Now, we must recognize that King David was a mighty king of Israel who God chose to be the leader of his people. He was a man after God's own heart. God used him mightily and was always with him. This did not keep David from going through many battles and having many troubles. Now, in Psalm 56, as we talked about, David enumerated some of his troubles, many enemies using different tactics and tried daily to swallow him up. He complained that their thought was against him and that they twisted his words up. But David did not just use a list of complaints. Although King Saul was hunting him to kill him, David was the anointed of the Lord to succeed Saul. David carefully wrote that in his fear, he trusted in the Lord who was going to keep him. And that's the question. Who are you trusting? Are you trusting in the Lord to keep you in spite of what you're going through? David stated that God counted his journey and kept track of his tears, putting them in a bottle and recording them in his own book. As God knew always of David's situation, so he knows our condition, and he will take care of us. Although we may have troubles, God is always with us to help us and deliver us. May we ever fail to trust God in the time of our troubles. And so, child of God, even as we get ready to close on this day, I want you to know, as never before, this is a time as never before to praise God and show forth the praises of our God and what he's able to do, what he's capable to do, what he promises he's going to do, and live in a place of praise with a praise on your lips. I don't care what you hear. When people come and share their stories and share their situation, circumstances, turn their hearts back to praise. Turn their minds back to worship unto the Lord our God. And watch God do a phenomenal blessing in and through and among his people. Because the scriptures say, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. So hold on, child of God. Hold fast to the word of God. And watch God fight on your behalf. Watch God, the King of Kings, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Watch him fight on your behalf. So lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. He wants to come in. So lift up your head, child of God. Look unto the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. And I come to tell you in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is to ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you, according to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. So, child of God, if you're thrown in the towel, go back and get your towel. Get up and go back down on your knees and call on the mighty name of Jesus, because he that will come shall come. And help is on the horizon. Continue on in a praise and watch God do it in and through your life. Until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.